So Rabbi,
before you start,
I'm going to mute everyone. Everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And feel free to unmute yourself when you have what to say. Okay. So I want to just share with you two different approaches on how to read the story of the story of Reuven and God, the tribes wanting to that these tribes they're wanting to remain on the other side of in the eastern side of the Jordan River, right? So that is Perek Chaf Lamed Beis. So there the Torah says, so we're going to read the story, and then we're going to sort of give two different approaches. That's really it, and we're going to try to see the strength of each approach. Umikne Rav Haya Livne. Oh, let me share the screen with everyone. Okay, so you see here that Umikne Rav Haya. I've lost stuff on my computer. Open. Umikne Rav Haya Livne Ruvain Livne God Atzu Maod. So they had a lot of cattle. Vayiru es eretz Yazer es eretz Gilad v'nei mahamakom makom miknan. They saw that these lands of Yazer and Gilad that were and there was a place for a lot of cattle. Vayavo b'nei God b'nei Reuven vayomra Moshe v'Elazar akoyin v'aldesir edilei mor b'nei God b'nei Reuven say to Moshe and to Elazar and to the princes, to the leaders of the community, they sang. And they say, Ataras v'divon v'yazir v'nimra v'cheshvon v'el ole usvam unvo v'on. So they list a whole bunch of places. Ha'aretz asher yikra Hashem lifnei adas Yisrael eretz mikneh hi v'lavadecha mikneh. The land that Hashem conquered before Klal Yisrael is a land of cattle, and your servants have a lot of cattle. V'yomri matzanu chein v'einecha. And they say to Moshe, if it finds favor in your eyes, Yutanes Aretz Azos Lavadecha Lachuza, let this land be given to your servants as an inheritance, as an ancestral inheritance. Al Tavaridu Eserdein, do not force us to cross the Jordan River. And that can mean one of two things. But Vayor Moshe Livnei God, Vilivne Ruvain, and Moshe speaks to B'nei God and to B'nei Ruvain. And ha'cheichem yavol imilchama v'atem ovrim v'atem teshu po. What, you're going to go to war. Your brother's going to go to war and you're going to stay here. V'lava t'ni yudas lev b'nei yisom me'avor el ha'ar shir nasan lahem yashem. Why did you, the English says, turn the minds of B'nei Yisrael from crossing to the land that Hashem gave you. Ko asu avoseichem b'sholchi yosem ikarosh b'nei liros es ha'aretz. So this is what your ancestors did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. And they ascended to Nachal Eshkol, they saw the land, and they turned the minds of the hearts of Klal Yisrael so that they shouldn't enter into the land. Hashem got angry and he swore, saying, Miru Hanashim, Holy Mimitzrayim, Ben Hashim, Shadav Amala. Esa Adama, Shen Ishbati, Lavraham, Nitzach Yaakov, Kilo Milu Achrai. You know, God swore, like, if the people who, from the age of 20, enter into the land that I promised, the land, Bilti Kaleb and Yefuna, Knizi, Vyachil, Binun, Kimilu Achrai Hashem. The only exceptions are Kaleb and Yoshua. Vayicharaf Hashem Yisrael v'yinim b'midbar arba'im shana tom kol ador ho'osev rabbi Hashem, and Hashem got angry and he made them wander for 40 years until that whole generation that did evil was gone. V'hine kamtem tachas avosechem tarbus ad Hashem chatim lispos od al charon haf Hashem al Yisrael, and you sinful people, you've replaced your fathers to add still further to Hashem's wrath against Klal Yisrael. Ki seshuvun me'acharav, that you turn away from him. V'yasaf od ladicho b'midbar v'shichatem l'chol abazeh, and you will continue, and then he will abandon Klal Yisrael again in the desert, and you will bring calamity upon all the people. Wow. Moshe really gives it to them. Vayik shuei love. So they come close to Moshe. Vayomru gidros tzol nivne l'gminu po varim l'tapenu. We will build, fences or buildings for our sheep, for our cattle, here, and cities for our young ones. V'anachtu necholetz chushim lifnei b'nei Yisrael asher im hevi onum el makomam v'yashav tapenu barei hamibtsar b'nei yoshvei haaretz. and we will arm ourselves before Klal Yisrael until we have established them in their home, and then our children will stay here in the fortified cities because of those who are living in the land. So in other words, we'll cross and lo nashu v'voteinu ad hisnachel bnei Yisrael ish nachla. So we will not return to our homes until Klal Yisrael is in possession of their land. We will not have a share with them in the territory on the western side of the Jordan River, because we have received our portion on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Okay? So then what does Moshe say? Moshe said to them, if you do this, if you wage war, you go to war, and indeed, you do what you say you're going to do. And you, the land will be conquered. Then you're going to return. And you will be clear before Hashem and Klal Yisrael. And basically, if you do that, it'll all be good. And he says, if you don't do this, then you're a sinner. And then basically, the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven agree to it. Okay, and everything is great. So there are obviously two ways to read this story. So what's one way, what's one way to read the story? What are the two ways to read the story? What are the two possibilities there?
I think you can read it either that they always intended that's what they were going to do.
Right.
Or Moshe misunderstood, as he's misunderstood that generation other times, and assumed the worst about them.
Wait, I think you're saying the same thing. No, Mike, I think you're saying the same thing. You're saying they always intended. No, in other words, you're saying the same thing.
Well, there are two different ways. Either they always intended to do what they just said.
No, and then Moshe misunderstood them. In other words,
or that Moshe misunderstood and he chastised them, you know, as he's done before, because he misunderstood okay. that generation.
So Mike, let me just.
But this isn't the same generation.
Right, this is a new generation. Right. There are two ways. Mike, I think it's a little bit different.
He misunderstood this new generation. Like by the water, he called them rebels.
Okay. So.
But they could have had true intention. Either that they really wanted to go when he misunderstood, or he embarrassed them into going.
Okay, right. So Arthur Goldstein. Arthur Goldstein says, either Moshe. Mike, I think your two approaches are the same. Arthur, I'm going to get to your approach to this in a second. Moshe misunderstood them, and they were always intending to go, and Moshe just misunderstood them. Or, basically, Moshe let him have it, and then they changed their plan.
That's what I was saying.
How could Moshe
did that misunderstand?
Wait, Evan, what do you want to say? Evan, yeah?
Moshe did not misunderstand them. Their setup was first to take care of their livestock and then their kids. Moshe reversed the order and told them first they're going to take care of the kids and then the livestock.
Okay, so he's critical of them, right? He's critical in that regard. Okay, right. Well, Herbie, what do you want to say?
Yeah, they didn't see this land until after the war with Midian, so they couldn't have had intentions all along because they knew nothing about it. They only decided to do this after they saw that it was good grazing land way at the end after they already fought the battle with Midian.
Okay, and therefore what? But which way does that point to?
So, in other words, they didn't have this plan in advance. There was no misunderstanding or anything like that. When they saw how rich that land was, they all of a sudden said, "Hey, yeah, why should we cross it? This land here
What I'm saying is the following. They clearly wanted this land as their achuza, as
right.
their inheritance.
But they wanted that at the end.
No, I understand. I agree with you. And it wasn't clear that this would be part of their portion, because we're going to see the Malbim says let's say Sichon and Og had just let them pass through and had not fought them, then they wouldn't have had this land. But I agree with you. I think that They only at this point did they want this in Achuza, but the question was, were they always planning on fighting on the western side of the Jordan River, let's say after, when they first approached Moshe?
No, this was a compromise. They had no intention of doing
okay.
it. Okay. So you're
agreeing with Evan. Okay. Here's the big question. The big question is the following. In Pasuk Hey, where it says, Al Tavi Radio Siyardeid, the simple reading is that they didn't want to cross. Don't let us cross at all. Is it referring to don't let us cross at all, or don't let us cross our kids? This is really what the big question is. What is Al Tavirido Sayarde? Let's just read the Mefarshim. So whatever we think, let's just read the Mefarshim. Look at Ramban. Look at the Ramban. Ramban said, Vayavo b'nei Gad uvnei Ruvain, hikti makasu b'nei Ruvain v'pasuk harishon u'miknei Rav ha'yo livnei Ruvain v'livnei Gad k'mishpat. So initially, the Torah says b'nei Ruvain before b'nei Gad because kihu ha'bachor ben ha'gvira, because he's the firstborn. And also, when this story happens, you know, he says, and to the Reuven, to God I've given. But this whole parsha, after this first time, it mentions B'nai God first. Because they were the ones who really had this plan. They were stronger than Reuven. Therefore, they weren't afraid to be in the eastern side of the Jordan River. Moshe suspected them. Moshe suspected that they're saying this because they're afraid of the people of Canaan. We can't go up because it's too difficult. Therefore, he said to them that they don't have faith in God like their ancestors. And God's going to punish these people, the Bnei Gad Reuven, just like he punished their ancestors. And therefore, they answered to him, Chalila shenira mehen. God forbid that we should fear, that God forbid that we're afraid of them. Navor chalutz and milchav and iam mehirim v'rishonu v'neham v'ilachay boi v'ashem ki lach menuhem. So, but we will go, we will wage war first, and we'll be the first ones. God forbid you should think that we are afraid. So, at least going to Rabban, there is some misunderstanding. It's not clear how much of misunderstanding there is, but certainly, one could argue within the Ramban that Moshe misinterpreted them as not having bitachon, and they're saying chalila that we shouldn't have bitachon. The Abravanel, I think, is a little bit clearer. The Abravanel says very clearly, they were full of fear and trepidation from the words of Moshe. That other than his greatness in Torah, lo hevin kavanasov, he did not understand their intent. Ki heim be'amram al tavirin es yardein lo kivnu shelo yelchu shama imachehem ela le'igen hayerusha amrukein shliavim shama lisnacha baretz. The Abravanel clearly believes that when they said Al Tavirna Siyardain, they didn't mean that we don't want to cross to wage war, but we simply mean we want to inherit this land. And because of Moshe's honor, they came close to him to say in his ears, my master, you didn't understand their words. And our intention. And that's what it means. They went close. And he said, I already explained this. Same idea. We don't want to stay here now. We're going to go first. We're going to go quickly. So what's clear is that Moshe accuses them of not having faith in God. Moshe is accusing them that there's a lack of faith, that people are going to be afraid. And they're saying Chalila, that we're afraid of Eretz Canaan. So there's some misunderstanding. The Abravanel says very clearly that they are telling Moshe, you misunderstood us. That is not the only explanation. On the other side, the Akedas Yitzchak, Rav Yisachar Rama says, Omnam hanira bozeh, ki Moshe Adonenu olav ha-shalom ba'otzim chachmaso amar almos kavanasam, that Moshe Rabbeinu, in his infinite wisdom, he understood the truth of their intent. That initially they did not want to wage war. They came close. So basically, we have a debate amongst them. I just gave you a few examples, but you'll see that if you look at the Mefarshim, there is a dispute. Was there a misunderstanding or not? Do you view this story as Moshe again squelching a potential fire? If we follow the Abravanel, maybe also the Ramban, again, it may highlight a lack of understanding of Moshe with the new generation. Maybe Moshe is haunted by the sin of the spies. He automatically suspects the new generation. This is what Mike Teigman said about how when the sin of the hitting of the rock, when Moshe called them, one of the interpretations of his sin is that he called them rebels, even though this is a new generation, he automatically suspects a new generation. And the truth is, the central issue, of course, is that they have a lot of cattle. They have a lot of cattle, right? Mikne Rav, Hayovne, Ruvain, Vlivne God, they have a lot of cattle. And obviously, there are midrashim which are very critical. They say that's why they were exiled first, because they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. So again, there's back and forth. What's interesting is the simple reading, I think, is Al Taveres Yarden falls the Akedas Yitzchak. Simple understanding is they don't want to cross at all. What's interesting is that why are they now saying all this, that they want this land? So the Malbim says they make a very good argument. They say, they list a whole bunch of places. And they thought that these places are not good for cattle. B'chozehu eretz mikneh. Right? They said, look at all this cattle. Look at all these cities have a lot of cattle. Valpiza Amru Moshe, Ataros Vidivon, Haaretz Sharhika Hashem. What does it mean, Haaretz Sharhika Hashem? Rotzalomar Achar Sher Hashem, Hikos Aretz Azos, since Hashem conquered this land, Lifni B'nai Yisrael, before B'nai Yisrael, Bavade Rotzalan Chila El Shifte Yisrael. He certainly wants to give it as an inheritance to the Shvatim. Shim Lo Kenk, if this wasn't the case, Lama Horisha Sheosh Fiars Misham. Why did Hashem drive out the inhabitants from these areas? Voyadai Bishenitzhu Asichon Levad, Achiitin Osam Avor Bigvulo. That it would have been sufficient for Hashem just to simply allow to tell Sichon, to tell the Bnei Israel, okay, you can cross you can cross the land. Why did Hashem see to it that Sichon and Og waged war against Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael decimated them? Obviously, Achar Shirotza L'Sita L'Yisrael, Uvavad Yitin L'Chol Shevet Chevel Me'aretz L'Fit Tzarchav V'Asakav. So after, obviously Hashem wanted to give this land to Klal Yisrael, and certainly He would give to every tribe based on their needs. Shagam Shemachol Shebo Yikach Hashem Eschalko Hoya Pi Agorel, even though everyone got their land according to the lottery. V'choza Achar Shav Goral Pi Hashem V'Vadei Bar L'Chol L'Kol Echad Chilek B'Machol Zatzarech Lo, Hashem would give everyone their portion. V'imkein Achar She'eretz Miknehi V'Lavadecha Mikneh V'Vadei Hu HaMakom HaMuchon Me'ez Hashem L'Faneinu. So they're making a nice argument. They're saying to Moshe, listen, this land is obviously Hashem wanted to give to the broader Klal Yisrael. Every tribe gets what's needed. For us, we need cattle, and that's essentially what they're arguing. Now, Moshe, by the way, just to be fair, Moshe does not accuse them of the lack of trust in Hashem. The concern is actually on the effect of the people and the inappropriate attitude. Maybe all the tribes would want to stay at the eastern side of the Jordan River, right? And however, once, right, if you look at the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, what does he say? Perush milavara tanos od kovel ni alechem lama tniun es leva'am. Perush lo yiyah she'en kavanaschem el letamim harun b'divreichem. Even if there are, you know, even if you're saying it's for the reason that you're saying, even if you're saying that it's the reasons of cattle, im kolze yesh makom lerotze lachshov she'tanosechem hu liyiras amaros. Even if you're giving justifiable reasons, what are people going to think? People are going to think that this is, you know, this like sort of like maybe like what the Kansas is saying. You know, even if your goal is you want to stay for the cattle, and that's a justifiable reason. But people are going to be dismayed, and they're going to say you're doing it because you're too afraid, and that's gonna lower the morale of the rest of Klal Yisrael. And it's also interesting that there's a little bit of a break here, that when they respond, it says, what does it say? And the Bnei Gad and Reuven say to Moshe and Elazar Kohen, they pasuk Gibel, they list a bunch of cities, and they say the land that Hashem smote is a land of cattle. And then pasuk Hey, but Yomer, when they said, well, why did they say it a second time? Like they said it, they came, and they said, and then they said again. So you can imagine that, like, it's almost as if they're coming to Moshe and they're saying, Moshe, we have this great land. We have a lot of cattle, and they're sort of waiting for Moshe to say, oh, you can take the cattle. Moshe remains silent. And now they make their claim, Pasuk Hey, and then Moshe lets them have it. That sort of may fit in a little more to, in other words, you know, that may fit a little more as to the Kedesh Tisla position. Also, why don't they say explicitly, Moshe, you misunderstood us? So maybe you can say they out of respect they didn't say that, but Moshe, by the way, still makes them give a dual condition. If you do this, then fine. If you don't, then you don't. Then you can't. And Moshe is still like a little nervous that he doesn't trust them. So again, with this story, I think there are two ways to read the story. You know, you could read this in really two different ways. You could be critical of Moshe Rabbeinu, and you can say this again is Moshe Rabbeinu, like the chet of again. Moshe obviously did not sin here, but Moshe is a little bit out of touch with the new generation, like he was when he hit the rock, when he got angry at them, called them rebels. Maybe he's been traumatized by what happened 40 years earlier. That might be their Bravanel's approach, or the flip side. Is what the Kedesh Yitzchak is saying, which is what? And here's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's an older fellow. He's the end of his life. And Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, they're young, and they don't understand. They don't fully realize the impact of their actions, right? It's like, you know, you have the new guard and the old guard, right? The new guard's like, yeah, we'll take this land. We have a lot of cattle. We can stay there. Moshe's an old guy. We can try to pull the wool over his eyes. You know, we're going to say, Ataros, Divon, Yazar, Nimr, all these cities. Hashem gave this is a land of Mikneh, and we have a lot of Mikneh, right? There's a lot of cattle, we have a lot of cattle. And Moshe just stares at them straight-faced. He doesn't say a word. He waits for them to ask the question, and he lets them have it. They don't appreciate the impact of their actions. They think an older person like Moshe, you know, doesn't get it. They think they can make a simple request and get them to buy in, but they don't appreciate the fact that if they don't go in and wage war with the rest of the tribes, the potential negative impact. And this shows Moshe Rabbeinu, even at the end of his life, he's still 100% on his game. And we see all, again, the entire Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu's on his game, right? Giving them Musa at the end of his life. So I think there are two ways to read the story and how you view Moshe Rabbeinu sort of at the end of 40 years. Evan, yes.
Actually, it's Eva.
Eva, I'm sorry, Eva, yes.
Okay. I just have a little bit of a different feeling about this because Moshe already knows that he's not going into Eretz Yisrael. He got to see it.
Right.
And he wants so much to go, and he can't go. And how can he understand somebody who doesn't want to go?
Ah, right. I hear you.
I'm so angry with them, but you know.
Right, right. I think that's a great argument. I'm more focused on Pasuk Zion. In other words, I wonder, that could be going on beneath the surface, Eva. I guess in the text, he says, Veloma Tiniyu and a slave b'nei so me'avor el ha'aretz she'nasan lohem Hashem. And then once they say, oh, we're gonna wage war, but we're gonna end up living on the east side of the Jordan River, Moshe is totally okay with it. It seems that that's maybe there's something beneath the surface. Could be, but from the text, it seems that maybe he buys into the argument. So what the Malbim was saying, that Hashem actually, this is like the greater Israel. You know, there's like the smaller, there's the Dan to Be'er Sheva Israel, and then there's maybe the, there's the broader goal, and maybe, I hear what you're saying. I would like him to say that. You know what I'm saying, Eva? Like, I'd like him to say that.
I understand, but what I'm thinking is, I mean, here, the Yarden is, for him, clearly the border.
You're right.
If they stay on that side, it means they don't want to go.
What he desperately wants, how could it be?
How would it be possible for somebody not want to go? You've been promised this, and we had to wait an extra 40 years to get into here, and I'm not even going to be able to go.
Right, I hear you.
How could somebody not want to go?
Right. Yeah. No. It's a reasonable way. It's not explicit. The question is that behind the scenes a little bit, but that's certainly sufficient.
Yeah.